It's a hot day at Pickles. Fortunately, there's a nice breeze. That wind tunnel we've got here across the street from Memorial Park at Camden Yards is feeling pretty good. It's inside access. Jason on vacation. Myself and the Bone taking you until 5:30, and then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter, and joining us now, another member of our BBT crew. He's the Oriole Hall of Famer. He's Mike Bordick. And Bordy, thank you as always for joining us. Let's start with Dean Kramer, and what did you see last night with him? Like, the difference, throws five shutout innings in Seattle, and last night he seemed to be fighting his control.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, left some pitches in the middle of plate. Had a hard time, finishing some hitters. I think there were a couple, two strike big hits. I think the home runs were on two strikes. And, so he just had a hard time finishing off hitters. And it was a little funny, listening to his interview after the game, it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. Like, he didn't think like there was much of a problem with it. He felt like he executed. And, when you give up, five runs, in four innings, I would think you'd want to reevaluate, each pitch and see how you did afterwards. I don't know, man. I think he ought to be a little bit harder on himself.
Well, Bordy, I feel like there's two sides of this, and I'm with you, but, like, he gives up the home run in the first, and that was crushed, and then he gives up the home run to end his day. Well, basically, he got Morel, and then his day was over to happen the fourth. The runs he gave up in between was a lot of soft contact. Maybe he was referring to that, but, yeah, you gave up four runs on two bombs. You got to reevaluate where you put the ball.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's location. It might even be pitch selection, that gave up the home run. So there's got to be, you can't be happy with it. I don't care if you made a great pitch and a guy hits a home run. There had to have been a better pitch in that mix somewhere, to get that guy out. I think there has to be some evaluating. Listen, he was throwing strikes. He wasn't hurting himself with walks. Ben McDonald said last night that he just needed an out pitch. It's just something to get a swing and miss, and just didn't quite have it last night.
Bordy, we're bigger Dean Kramer people than Jason and most, but doesn't last night just kind of reaffirm that Kramer can't be your starter in game three of a playoff game?
Well, I personally think Kramer adds a lot of value to this rotation. And I think he's a big reason why they were in the position they were in last year. I think my hope is that he can kind of right the ship a little bit because, this is obviously a pretty inconsistent start. The start before was nice. I mean, I don't think anybody knew what to expect, right, especially after his rehab assignments. And then the start before he went on the IL wasn't even that good against St. Louis. So, I don't know. You just kind of wonder where he is right now. Is it going to be inconsistent the rest of the way? Is there still something lingering? He doesn't seem like he's got any health concerns or anything like that, and I'm sure they wouldn't run him out there if he was hurting a little bit. Just needs to tighten it up a little bit, whether it be his pitch mix or just location, and, find ways to try to get out of those tough situations.
We're talking to Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. And Bordy, let's follow up on that. We are 20 days till the trade deadline. We had Bob Nightingale from USA Today on Monday. He said a lot of trade business won't really start heating up until after the draft, which ends on the 16th. That's in 6 days. Like, how aggressive would you like to see the Orioles be at the trade deadline?
I would love to see them be aggressive and send a message like, we're just not messing around, man. We're going to be the kings of the East, not just, last year and this year, but, for a couple years to come. And that could mean making a deal to land a pitcher that they have control of. I think, there's some really kind of sticky areas, right? Because there's some good arms out there, but you don't really want to burn up a couple more players in the organization just to get a rental player. Yeah, you might be able to hoist the trophy, but you wonder about the depth. Is that going to be it? Are we just going to hoist one and that be it? So I think the Orioles want sustained success. I think they're definitely going to – the moves won't be made until after the draft, but the foundation has been laid. Calls have been made. Potential partners have already been reached out to. and things are being talked about. And I believe the Orioles have definitely been in contact with teams. I know they keep a lot of stuff close to their vest. Nobody leaks it out of that, out of the warehouse now. So it'll be interesting and I think fun to see how the Orioles work the next couple weeks.
How cool was it to see Jordan Westberg make the All-Star game, Bordy, following Devers backing out?
That was great, man. I think me personally, I'm just a huge fan of Westberg, and I when I saw him, you know, come into the Orioles organization and just kind of followed him through, and then had a chance to watch him do his work and go about his business. He's just like the ultimate pro, and I know Brandon Hyde alluded to that, and that's just every manager's dream. You just don't even care. Put Westberg's name in the lineup, you know he's going to be prepared. He's going to care about, you know, putting the best foot forward to not only make himself as good as he possibly could be, but for the betterment of the team. And you know, Westberg is just the perfect mold for that. And what a great example, I think. Humility, great talent, and with a knack for just winning and being a clutch performer. Yeah, he should have been on initially. I think there are a couple guys that should be on, you know, that All-Star game lineup. And you never know. There's still a few days left where things could happen, and the Orioles could be represented even once more. But, yeah, I'm super happy for Westberg and the Orioles organization.
Bordy, did you envision him taking this type of leap in his first full season in the bigs, though?
To be honest with you, no, because last year there were still a lot of question marks. I think everybody liked who he was, but the power wasn't translating. At least it didn't show up a lot last year. Nobody knew if he was going to have, you know, the pull power. Could he use all fields? Was he going to be able to be a consistent hitter? And man, oh man, has he proved himself and then some? I don't know. In my opinion, might be the Orioles' best clutch hitter, and mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody that's gotten bigger hits, you know, at the end of ball games than Westberg. So, yeah, there's a lot of trust in him, man, and I do. I agree. I think this is a big surprise this year. I felt like he was going to be a really good big leaguer, but I think this is really impressive. And now you've got, you know, you've got three of the best young players in the game. Here you go, Westberg, you know, Gunner and Adley. Line them up, man. I don't know if you're going to find a better threesome than this.
Bordy, so Westberg gets in the All-Star game as a third baseman, but he also plays a lot of second. Was it second last night? And with that in mind, if you were the GM of the Orioles, and I just named you GM of the Orioles, how quickly are you getting Kobe Mayo up here to play third base?
Well, man, oh, man. That would be pretty fun, too, wouldn't it? Stick Westberg over there at second base and Mayo, and just let these guys run with it for about 6 years and see what happens. Now, it's pretty exciting, right, because that could happen tomorrow. That could happen any second. And you talk about potentially a big deal, a big trade, you know. But how do you know? That's the thing, you know. Until, you know, they do something in the big leagues, like Westberg's no longer a suspect. He's a prospect. I mean, he's a legit major league dude. Mayo's tearing it up in AAA, but we see how the ups and downs go. Do the Orioles have the patience to be willing to withstand, you know, maybe a month and a half or two of maybe a Mayo not being the productive bat that, you know, everybody had hoped for? So that may take a little bit of time. I still think the question mark is defensively, is he as good as any of the gloves that the Orioles have right now? And man, oh man, that's going to be tough to beat. And I know Mayo's got a, you know, everybody talks really highly of him, but our Orioles defense is pretty special.
So I'm putting you down for hold the Mayo at the moment, correct?
Hold the Mayo. I love it. Yes.
Bordy, are you seeing anything different out of Ryan Mountcastle? We know that he's a streaky hitter and he was dealing with an illness, but he's in a four for his last 32 stretch.
Yeah, that's my fault because on Baseball Tonight I had him to really have a monster month of July, and he's actually gone the other way. Yeah, a little inconsistent right now. I don't know, man. He goes through these stages, doesn't he, where he locks in, he starts to use the whole field, You know, he stays on the slider down and away, stays on that outside pitch, and works it the other way. And then there are times where he feels like he might need an extra home run, so he just starts hacking, makes free swing in, and expands the zone a little bit, and then every now and then gets himself in between. So I think, unfortunately, that's where he is right now. But he could, you know, Mountcastle could turn any second, any day, and next thing you know, carry this team like he did last year. That's what we talked about on Spotlight. For a month and a half, he was one of the Orioles' best offensive players that really helped them through the dog days. And they're going to need his bat to help them through the dog days again. This ain't going to be easy. I know the Orioles are in a great spot right now, but these are the tough months, man. It's really tough to push through, and you need guys to find a little bit of consistency.
Bordy, before we let you go, what are you expecting from Corbin Burnes tonight, who looks like he's going to make his last start before the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think it's going to be he's going to put an exclamation point on things here to round out this first half. Just so deserving, and, I mean, my gosh, did Elias do one of the best moves, right, I think, in the offseason, a nice surprise by landing Corbin Burnes. And when you make a move like that, give up a couple of your top prospects, you only hope and pray that he'll have an all-star type year, and Corbin Burnes has not disappointed. I mean, it's been exceptional every time out, and I expect him to be great again.
Mike Bordick, you're always great, man. We always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and we will chat next week.
All right, you guys. Have a great afternoon.